The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
I am very excited about a very interesting mix that we have on the podcast today. Susan Lucci is going to be our guest, the actress, and she is very well traveled, and we only have her for a few minutes, but I can't wait to talk to her. She'll be on the podcast to talk about some of the amazing places she's been to. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about Bulgaria with New York Times writer Elliot Stein. Elliot actually is a freelance writer. He writes for The Times. He writes for BBC Travel, a host of other publications. And I recently read an article about his that he wrote about Bulgaria, and I never really have thought about visiting Bulgaria, but you know what? There was a time when people would have never thought to go to Prague or go to Budapest, and now that's on a lot of people's bucket list. And maybe Sofia, the capital city of Bulgaria, might someday be on your bucket list. And I swear, after you listen to Elliot and talk about the article, I really enjoyed the article, you might change your mind. We'll be talking to Elliot shortly. But on the phone with us right now is a very celebrated actress, Emmy Award-winning actress, if I could add that, and Susan Lucci. And Susan, if I could just start off by saying, my wife saw you on QVC recently where you had your activewear line, and she saw your shiny black leggings, and she said, that is the perfect pair of pants for travel.
You are so right. They are great to travel with. The whole line is because they're jackets. Everything coordinates, so you look very put together. So you can travel in them. They are very comfortable. And the black shiny ones that look like leather are the ones I take in my suitcase because they don't weigh as much as leather. And because they are more climate friendly, you know, wherever you're going, you can wear them.
You could wear those out on the town. Say you're going, you know, to dinner when you travel. That's a very classy look.
It is a great look, absolutely, and it's a go-to look. You know, it's not going to fail you. So just put on your high heels or your boots and your black shiny pants and, you know, with a little black camisole and throw one of the coordinating jackets over it, and you are good to go.
What a good travel tip. All right, since we're talking about travel, I want to ask you this. What is on your bucket list that you have never been to, or maybe you've been to once or twice and you want to go back to?
Well, I was in Barbados this winter, and I can't wait to go back there. I just love it there. That's for warm weather. I'm anxious to go back to Austria to go skiing because I just love it there. But there are places that I haven't been that I would very much like to go. Actually, my husband and I, along with some friends, have a trip planned to go to Russia this summer.
Wow.
Where we've never been. And then we're going to fly to Milan. I've never been to Milan. I've been to Italy, but never to Milan, and I've heard so much about it. And then we are driving to, my husband and I are driving to Zurich in Switzerland, where I've been many times, but he has family there. So we're going to see them, and that'll be a fun trip, I think, be great. But I'm seeing some incredible pictures. We've been to Africa, and that was life-changing, actually.
Why do you say it was life-changing?
Well, I was actually taking part in a documentary, and the first half of the trip involved working in Nairobi for Feed the Children and meeting those children and going to schools where those children are and where they have so little, and yet those children are so bright-eyed and full of hope. There's no plumbing. People are selling shoes by the side of the road, and often there are no pairs of shoes, just one shoe. I mean, it gave, you know, new meaning to so much. And the children, I expected maybe no hope and no light in the eyes, but they were the opposite. They were spectacular children who were full of song and dance and play with a rubber ball and act like it was the biggest Lego set they ever saw. You know, it was just, it was a great sweetness in those children. Then at the second half of that trip involved going to a safari, going on safari and going to a safari park. We were in Kenya and we were by Mount Kilimanjaro. So that was also very, very exciting.
Wow, that story you just told about the kids, I mean, that just really kind of sums up one of the aspects of travel that's so special is it can really change your perspective on things, something you didn't even expect. I bet you had no idea what you were going to see when you went there, and it totally made you appreciate so much more, but also it saw how it just takes so little effort to help out people.
Exactly. Oh, you just said that so well. Yes.
Well, Susan, it's such a thrill to talk to you. Continued success. I was so excited when we were able to book this interview, and it was great. I could talk to you for hours, but I know you're on a very tight schedule, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Hawkeye. Best of luck to you with everything you're doing.
Wow, I could talk to Susan about travel for hours, and I hope we have an opportunity to have her back and expand a little bit about her travels going to Russia, skiing in Austria, the Caribbean. I would love to find out more about the places that she has been. All right, let's shift our attention to Eastern Europe right now as we talk about Bulgaria, and I know that's probably not on the top of your list, and it wasn't on mine until a short time ago. Elliot Stein, the freelance writer, is our guest here this afternoon, and Elliot writes for the New York Times, BBC Travel, and I saw an article that you wrote, Elliot, for the New York Times on Sofia, Bulgaria. And before we get to all that, where does an international travel writer like yourself, where do you live?
Yeah, so I'm from Washington, D.C., born and raised, but I'm currently living in Berlin, Germany, which is an amazing city and also makes it incredibly easy to kind of hop over for other places in Europe whenever a story comes up.
Well, let me tell you why I was so interested in your story. I met someone from Romania a couple of weeks ago, and kind of I had a consciousness, kind of a, you know, I went, Romania. I was thinking, you don't hear people talk about Romania and Bulgaria, those countries in Eastern Europe, because ever since the Berlin Wall fell, people have traveled to, you know, Hungary and the Czech Republic and talk about Prague and Budapest. But I don't hear a lot of people talking about, you know, Romania and Bulgaria. And then as soon as I think about that, the next day, you know, one of those weird things in life, all of a sudden I see your article in the New York Times about a visit to Sofia in Bulgaria. And I thought, okay, now I'm interested. I read the story. I loved it. And I reached out to you. But you recently went to Bulgaria. What is Bulgaria like in the year 2018?
Yes, I had never been to Bulgaria before. It's my first time in the country, and I didn't really know what to expect. Living here in Berlin, a lot of people told me that it's sort of reminiscent of Germany's capital about 15 or 20 years ago, and there are a lot of similarities. There are lots of places that are very visibly still kind of echoing of the communist past, and then there are a lot of places where you have this kind of underground creative element, which I was really drawn to. And it's the same sort of energy here in Berlin, but it's much newer in Bulgaria. Bulgaria just got Ryanair in the capital of Sofia in 2016, and they've seen a huge spike in tourism. It's incredibly affordable, incredibly beautiful, and within about 20 minutes of outside the capital of Sofia, you're on a beautiful ski resort. So as European capitals go, I would definitely say it's incredibly underrated and very much up and coming.
Very interesting. It is interesting, though, as soon as they started getting flights from Ryanair, which is a noted discount airline in Europe, that all of a sudden they get a spike in tourism. Obviously they're not a communist. Well, I don't even know this. Are they a communist country anymore? Or have they embraced capitalism, or is it a little bit of both?
No, they're capitalists at this point. So they, along with places like Berlin and all of East Germany and you know, the so-called Soviet bloc, they finished capitalism in 1990. And at this point, you know, they're absolutely the capitalists. But I think that you see sort of echoes of the former political times, the same way that you do in lots of places in Eastern Europe, pretty visibly there. So you still have kind of the Soviet bloc housing when you go by kind of the outskirts of Sofia. You still have this sort of lingering stares when people look like they're not from there, in the way that you probably don't in a place like Rome or Madrid. And then a lot of the cuisine kind of goes back to these times when people just couldn't get the ingredients that we're used to in the West. So, you know, in the old days when you were maybe waiting a week in line at the supermarket for something that was imported, that is still something that's very much seen when you go to restaurants in Sofia.
Well, one thing that you discovered, which the article is about kleks. Am I pronouncing that correctly? A klek?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, now tell people what these are, because this is fascinating that this exists and how it's been adopted in the year 2018. And it's almost going away, too.
That's right. So a klek that's the Bulgarian word for the word squat. And so when you go in downtown Sofia, in the capital, you'll see sort of right above the pavement where it meets the side of an apartment building, these tiny little windows just inches off the sidewalk. And people are bending down and exchanging things with someone who's kind of hidden inside. And so what a klek shop is essentially when all of Bulgaria was transitioning away from communism in the late 80s, some of the first businesses in the whole country were these klek shops where people would sell extra appliances or homemade goods or just kind of household things that they made out of their basement bunker. And people had bunkers because during the Cold War, what the Russians and Bulgarians did was they built a basement bomb shelter in in the basement of every residential building. And so the units that had sort of storage areas on the outside often had a tiny window that opened up to the sidewalk. So there was a space for every family who lived in the apartment building. And when people would come by, they would sell these little items. And so eventually what happened is after communism fell, these things kind of became full-on businesses. And they're the first commercial businesses in the whole country, and about 20 of them still remain. And they're everything from shoe cobblers to people who sell homemade sandwiches or people who do fresh squeezed juices. And I've never been anywhere else that has anything that looks remotely like them, and they're totally fascinating.
But in the year 2018, even they're starting to be phased out because more commercial enterprises are coming that are taking over?
That's right. So, you know, as kind of modernization has sort of swept over everywhere, you no longer need these tiny little basement bunkers. So in the past, it was the kind of thing where someone would pay no rent and just kind of sell things out of their basement. But nowadays, there are other options like big box stores, there are chains that are coming in. You know, it's sort of reminiscent of harder times when people are shopping at these things and they have to squat down. And so they're being phased out. They're almost extinct these days.
But in your story, it's interesting because some of them are being taken over as artist studios and as speakeasies.
That's right. So, similar to everywhere in the world, you kind of have these young people coming in and taking these unused spaces where there used to be shops and turning them into things like jewelry stores or speakeasy. And it's really interesting. You know, these people they're not the ones who grew up with the collect shops, but maybe they remember going to them as a kid, and now they're sort of transforming it into something new, something creative, and visually they're stunning.
It's an interesting story. I really enjoyed it, and it also gave me kind of a perspective on a city, Sophia, that I hadn't even thought about visiting. But now I'm thinking, I kind of want to go there. Next time I go to Europe, I kind of want to take a few days and go in that direction.
It's a stunning place. I really want to go back. Actually, there's another city in Bulgaria called Plovdiv, which is one of the two European culture cities this year in 2018, and it sort of sits in the southern part of the country, right near Greece. And it's got Roman ruins, and it's got wonderful seafood, and I think that might be next on my list. But this trip certainly piqued an interest for me.
You know, okay, I've never heard of that town until you mentioned it now. When is the first time you heard of that town? I have a follow-up question to that.
I think it was when I was looking at a map of Bulgaria, trying to get my bearings and sort of seeing where I was. But it's funny, you know. I for whatever reason, I associated Bulgaria as kind of this very remote, cold place. But it's far more south than where I live in Berlin, and it sort of sits, you know, it's right above Greece, and there are some very, very hot times in Bulgaria and beautiful beaches there as well, which I never knew about before making this trip.
See, here's my point here, and this is something about travel, I hear this all the time, is you go to one place, like Sofia, and then you find two or three more places that you want to go that are on your list. It just keeps expanding.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I've got a hankering to kind of see the whole country now.
Well, Elliot, it was a fascinating article, and thank you so much for spending a few moments with us and kind of telling us a little bit more about Bulgaria and kind of adding something to my bucket list now.
Well, yeah, thanks so much for having me, and really appreciated you reaching out.
It was definitely my pleasure. All right, before we go, I want to kind of pass along a few things, so don't tune out the end of the podcast because I know a lot of people do that thinking they've heard everything. First of all, I would highly recommend, if you enjoy travel and reading great travel writers, to subscribe to the New York Times Travel Dispatch newsletter. It comes out via email once a week. It's absolutely free, and it has all the great travel writers that are published that week in the New York Times. And your local newspaper doesn't really have a very big travel section anymore, so it's a great place to get fantastic writing and explore new ways, new places to travel to. That's how I found out about Elliot, and I highly recommend that. And I'll put a link to that on our blog. Elliot mentioned a town in Bulgaria, Plovdiv, and that is spelled Plovdiv, and it's one of the European cultural cities for 2019, actually. And I will have a link to that also on our blog, and we will have that up very, very shortly. So we want to thank both Elliot and Susan Lucci for being our guests here today. Don't forget, you can always follow us on our social media, at Hawkeye On Air on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits.